Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Hello, and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Fried. It is so good to be back here with you, Jordana. How are you? What's going on? How is chilly New York? How are you?
I'm good. You know, we just celebrated our 10-year Betches anniversary, which is a pretty big milestone for us.
I have to say, congratulations. I'm so proud of you guys. I say it to everybody. Like, I felt like my parents' anniversary. Like I was really genuinely proud, and I congratulations, because how does it feel? What did that feel like? Was it any other day, or did you get nostalgic? Did you feel proud of yourself? Did your mom call you and say, "You did it, kid"? Like did you get? Because I always, let me also say, I always say this. I love working with you guys. You guys are the pleasure to work with. I felt proud to be part of your world in some small screaming way, like the way
I mean, you're part of it in a pretty big way. And Jared, I feel like you've been there not the whole 10 years, but for a pretty sizable bulk. You've been hosting our comedy shows since what, 2012?
It's been a long
2013.
Yeah, we go way back. More.
Yeah,
it is one of those things. Like our friendship, our relationship, mine with the Betches as well. Like it's good. It just goes back more than, like, I don't know if you have those people in your life. You're like, wow, I've known these people for a long time. You know,
right? It really snuck up on us in that way. No, it's been really cool to look back on it. It's definitely like it feels like a very big number. I mean, obviously, there are things that have been around for longer and shorter, but yeah, it's weird to see, you know, how, again, we started this in college. We were like kind of messing around in our apartment, and like 10 years later, here we are. It's just like, it is kind of funny. And it feels good. It's exciting. And, you know, I thanked my dad who we each put in $1,500. My dad gave me $1,500 to put into this business in 2011.
Unreal. And I mean, that's gotta be the best investment he's ever made in his entire life.
I think he really didn't. He thought it was going to be like over pretty soon, but it was like, sure, not that big of a lift. I think where he was like, it's like, yeah, give it a shot, whatever.
Sure. I mean, yeah, you need those people in your life that are like, yeah, why not? You know,
why not? Yeah.
You know, like that. But I mean, did your dad call you? Like, what was the, I kept thinking of you, like, what was the, any weird interactions, any that really touched your heart? Were you crying? What was the,
oh no. I mean, I wasn't crying. I don't,
that was a dumb question.
No, I wasn't crying, but no, it felt like, it just kind of felt like, wow, it took a step back. I thought about, you know, all the ups and the downs. And I know, you know, in the beginning, obviously, like, it takes a while to like really make any money or like be able to support yourself on it. And like, there were a lot of times, it's funny because you think about it almost as like a relationship. This is like longer than any relationship I've ever had. There's definitely been ups and downs. There's times I thought about, you know, especially in the beginning when we weren't making any money, like, should I just leave and get a real job? You know, like, do I want out? I mean, I like doing this, but it's a lot, you know what I mean? There's a lot of instability with running a business.
Absolutely. And also fears for the future. There's nobody, you know, there's no track. Like it's like you hear about people like, I got partner. And it's like, no, I don't know what a year from now holds. Right. That's right. A little concerning.
Yeah, totally. But it's been like, you know, it's been the one constant, again, like almost the longest constant in my life, besides like my friendships, I guess, is like just doing this thing. Like, for 10 years, it's definitely a milestone.
If I could ask a couple questions for the audience, what's the most, first of all, what's your advice to someone out there who's in a similar position to where you were 10 years ago, or has a little thing going on and they're not sure, Should they keep after it? Should they make it their full-time thing? Should they just kind of kick it to the side? Like, there's someone out there with some Instagram account that all their friends are making fun of them for, but they believe it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, for sure.
What's your advice to them?
My advice, or at least I guess my commentary, is that it's not, success within it is not linear. So it's not like one day you've made it and one day you haven't. It's kind of like, and it's also when you're in something, very hard to see how anyone who's outside of it really perceives it. So it's like, you know, you could feel like something's going terribly, but no, people from the outside don't feel that. Or you could feel like things are going really well and no one else believes in that. So I think, like, just because, I would say my only advice, or my one of my pieces of advice, is that just because it's not going well for a little doesn't mean that it won't come back. But it's really like, if you truly believe you're doing something new and different and like cool, then I think stick with it. I mean, we were very lucky in that we were started this, was 21 years old, no responsibilities, no kids, no anything. It's all, you know, you could live with your parents for a while. It was like not a big deal. But yeah, it was tough.
I call it practical delusion. Like, when you're 21, you can be more delusional than practical.
Exactly.
And maybe later in life, that's not to say later in life you can't start something or like start a new career path, but you have to be practical and, you know, a little more practical than delusional, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's a good, that's also a good way to look at it. And yeah, it's been a bit. It's been fun.
My last question about it, and please, whatever, you know, what is the biggest memory you have from 10 years at Betches? Like, is there one moment where you're like, this is fucking it?
Like, when I've like, I made it.
I don't know if it's made it, but like, what's like the moment that, like, if someone was to be like, oh my God, what do you, you know, I don't know. What's the most memorable Betches moment? Is there one that sticks out?
There's so many, like, it's like, there's so many small ones sort of along the way that feel like little bursts of, like, you know, success. I would say, you know, a lot of them have been related to this podcast. When we sold out our first Comedy Cellar show,
for sure,
was like, this is really cool. When we launched Ship, I was like, this is really cool. We had our first New York Times bestseller, I think, when we were like 22, I was like, this seems legit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Whoa, this is pretty cool. Yeah.
But it's funny because it's just like, you know, the business is based around social media. We've grown up in an age of social media, and it always feels, no matter what level of success you're at, it always feels like someone's doing it a little better than you, or someone
That's
knows
so
what they're doing.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
No one knows. Like, these people know what they're doing. I'm like kind of trying to figure it out. And I assume that everyone must feel like that, right?
You are a hot, that's probably the best advice to someone.
Maybe that's
just
the better.
Yeah, but no, you gave good advice before, but I'm saying, like, to me, like, it's definitely comforting to hear, because you go, Betches is a, you know, it's a company. You are, you know, people's lives are connected to it. You're helping people pay their rent and make a savings and make a life. And it's like, to hear that, like, you know, I guess you have to have that feeling of like, am I falling behind? Am I not doing enough?
Yeah.
Is there something else I could be doing?
And that, to me, is the most, I feel like that's the toughest part about running a business, is like the idea that, like, just because you're doing well now doesn't mean you're doing well like tomorrow. Doesn't mean someone else isn't going to come right up and like do the same thing you're doing, but better. And like, that's a stressful lifestyle. I mean, I think it's a lot easier. I don't know if I talked to you or someone else, when Alex Trebek died, I was like, this guy fucking had it made. He just posted the same show every day, 35 years, he's like worth like $75 million. And like,
sure,
he just got to do the same thing. He didn't have to like think, there's no innovation really in the Jeopardy game.
Life was easy. As smart as you have to be to play Jeopardy is as, you know, as simple as it is to just be reading the cards and saying it in the right cadence and question, you know, posing it as a question instead of as an answer, you know?
For sure. I think that's the coolest thing about like Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. It's like, it's not trying to reinvent the wheel. It's the same shit every night. And it's just comforting. People just like it. Because it's not so innovative. It doesn't feel like
it stands the test of time.
Right. It's calming.
Yeah, and for that reason, everyone listening should share this podcast because we need more people because we are living in constant fear that it'll end tomorrow. So please
exactly.
share it with a friend, a coworker, a brother, a sister, a mama, a papa. Make it your Instagram stories. And in honor of Jordana's huge milestone, in honor of Betch's 10 years, which I again, congratulations. I'm so proud of you guys. I want everyone to make it their Instagram stories and post about this podcast to let people know because I genuinely feel we are doing good on this podcast. People, the messages are heartwarming and thank you for all the messages. And they definitely like, you know, I do feel like we're having an open conversation that gets bogged down in judgment and insecurities. And I think for a lot of people that listen, they go, it's just nice to hear two people talk normally about this dating world, this relationship world, right?
Totally. No, it's great. I mean, we love the feedback. We love that you know, we're able to keep doing this. And I think speaking of milestones, we've got to talk about your Valentine's Day milestone.
How is your Valentine's Day? What is a
You're deflecting.
I'm deflecting. Let's start with yours. What happened? What was done on yours?
What was done? We went to dinner.
Okay.
Which was great. We went to dinner. I got some flowers. I got my card.
Okay.
And I got a Yeti thermos thing for my walks because I take morning walks.
Oh.
So I got a nice little thoughtful Yeti like
that
coffee.
Listen, it shows. For the men out there, that if you can put a story behind a gift, you've won the day. Like the idea, mm-hmm. like a thermos, someone go, you got a thermos for Valentine's? That seems kind of crazy. But then like the way you explained it is the way is the reason it matters. You're like, I go on walks. He knows this about me.
Yeah.
He thought about this. There was thought put into the thermos. That's a nice
thing. It was very nice. I have to say the flower, just because this is a podcast about being real, the flowers did not come on Valentine's Day. They came yesterday.
So,
and I said to him on Valentine's Day, I was like, this thermos is really cute.
Yeah.
It's not that romantic. I love it. I love the card. But it would have been nice if you got me some flowers.
We want to be real. I'll tell you my story.
Let's hear it.
So I was in Tampa doing shows for the weekend. I want to thank everyone that came to Tampa. A lot of people asking about you, Jordana.
Everyone, including shows. Dale.
So we're going to get to this. So I did kind of like, to me, the whole weekend was an experience of love and enjoyment and Valentine's thing. So like you're saying right now, the flowers did not arrive on the day. They came before. That was not, you know, you're right. That matters. So Saturday night, everyone who knows, if you follow me on Instagram, you know that I yell at The Bachelor. I have become friendly with Bennett, who was on The Bachelorette. Bennett and Ed came and surprised me at my late show Saturday night. They brought with them Dale Moss, who people know even more because he's the one that got engaged to Claire and then they've recently broke up. So those three dudes show up to the show. They surprised me. They sat front row. They're like,
wow,
taking selfies. I walked on stage. I had no idea they were there. I was like, oh my God, all of a sudden it's these three like Avengers looking dudes. They're enormous. They stick out because they're all gorgeous, enormous studs. And I made fun of them a little bit. And then I did the show and the show was great. But like me included with the rest of the audience, everyone was like, what is going on right now? Because it's not like we're in New York.
They must have loved that.
People loved it. And again, it was funny because some people loved it. Some people were with people who loved it. And then some people were just at the show like, what's going on right now? Like,
right. You know, who like, are these people? Yeah.
Who are these people? And also I paid for a comedy show. So that's kind of my responsibility where I have to make fun of them. Let people who don't know who they are in on the joke. Because to them, I'll say this, like people who go on The Bachelor and Bachelorette kind of have this feeling that everyone knows them.
Right.
Like they go from nothing to obscurity to the most fame ever. The reality is Dale Moss of those three guys is the one everyone would know, but not everyone knows him.
I mean, it's like any influencer where you're sort of totally. Like, you know, three people asked. So a lot of people have been asking everyone also. I mean, but people actually do really know Del Moss, I think.
Totally. Especially. So yeah. I end up making fun of them. And then throughout the show, I do like 10 minutes on The Bachelor during my stand up. So I like, you know, bring them into it a little bit more there. I made fun of them. Like they were paying the tab. I told Dale he should put it on Claire's card as a joke. and so like I do that. Then we leave. I get off stage and they're like, I was like, we got to get a picture. So we get a picture and it's on my Instagram. And I look like, you know, the before and after picture. Like it is like me with three like redwood trees. Like they are huge. And I look like, you know, Joe Pesci. I just look mini and like gross. And so we take this picture, and the next morning I wake up and I a little hungover from, you know, having a couple drinks with them.
And the next morning is Valentine's Day.
The next morning is Valentine's Day, and I go in the bathroom and I take my phone with me and I post the picture with us, from the night, because it's the next morning. I'm figuring this just happened, and I tag it with me and my Valen bros. And so I post the picture. An hour later, Jess is like, you're a fucking asshole. Like, you posted about the Valen bros before you posted with me. And I was like, I did have in my drafts the picture I was going to do with the caption. Like, it wasn't like I didn't think of these things.
Okay,
like,
so
I
you were going to do it anyway.
Of course. Okay. I was like planning on doing it. And she's like, and then I'm like, I was going to do it. Like, I was going to let the Valen bro post breathe a little, as you know, like, let that have its moment so that I can give her own moment. Again, I could see how some women listening are like rolling their eyes right now. Like, again, I made a mistake. And so then I raced to post it. Now this is an hour after I posted the Valen bros. It's this sweet picture about Jess. And the whole day I'm watching this picture being like, please, please get more likes than the Valen bros. Like,
I did it?
No. And I'm... And the Valen bros is like outpacing Jess's picture. I'm like, oh, please, please get more likes. And then all of a sudden, I thought I was the only one that was sick enough to be thinking this. And then Jess at one point's going through Instagram. She's like, yeah, about 1,000 behind. And I'm like, what? She's like, 1,000 likes behind. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, it doesn't matter who you are. Like, all of us know these things, see these things.
100%.
We're all doing, you know, like, yeah. Again, just like you said to start this conversation, to be real. Like, that's what this podcast is about, to be real. What's that? She said it's not because she's obsessed, it's because I'm an ass. No, I know. The relation of me being an ass to those likes is just something every relationship deals with. Like, and it's like, it's definitely so funny to me that, like, in my mind, I'm like, please get more likes. And then, like, I'm like, she won't notice. And she's like, less likes. You
well,
know, like
we I have
both
to say
noticed the same thing.
The caption of your photo was one of the more sincere, like, non-jokey things I've ever seen coming from you. At first glance, it was like, did Jared get hacked?
You know, I I'm a writer at heart. And, you know,
it was very sweet.
I think that's the tight wire act we're all doing on the internet. It's like, how do I like, there's this thing on the internet where it's like, everyone's got to self-deprecate. You can self-deprecate, but you got to show vulnerability at a certain point too.
Right.
Like, you know, I know some people on the internet that, like, you know, they're posting stuff on Valentine's Day and, like, you know, the real story and you're like, the real story is fucking bullshit compared to this post. And it's like, you know, you're just trying to be as honest and also, like, you want to show off, you know, that, like, you know, here's a day of happiness. Like, I get why people talk shit on Valentine's Day. Like, I talk shit on it too. But also, like, to take a stance, to be like, well, fuck the world. Like, you just sound like you're exhausting yourself. Like, you have to give in every now and again, you know?
No, I mean, I thought it was very sweet.
Thank you.
Look at you.
But I mean,
growing and evolving.
I mean, just know all the people listening, I know Valentine's Day is a very, especially this podcast, we talk about dating, modern dating, all that stuff. Just know for every Instagram post, there was a small argument that accompanies it no matter what. That doesn't matter how happy, how fun, how beautiful, how great they're smiling. There was something else going on that day that you just didn't see.
Yeah. I mean, look at Dale Moss's Instagram.
So, yeah, Dale Moss.
Do you need any evidence?
Is, Exactly. Like, you know, Dale was very nice. All three of those guys. I mean, like, literally, my heart was warm. Surprised me. Like, called the club ahead of time. Like, just a bunch of mensches, I got to say. I'm it was quite a weekend. And again, if you're looking to do some live comedy, I'm doing some shows. This comes out on the 24th, right? I'm going to be in West Palm Beach tomorrow night. I'm also coming to Omaha, Nebraska. I'm coming to Fort Lauderdale. I'm coming to Naples, Florida. So little Florida tour plus Omaha, Nebraska, Naples, Fort Lauderdale, Omaha, West Palm Beach, jaredfree.com, jaredfree.com, jaredfree.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been seeing a therapist for many years now, and one of the things that I've learned from therapy is that I'm pretty introverted, and a lot of the time, socializing with people can drain me. So I've really learned how to have that right balance of going out, socializing, meeting people, but also making sure I have enough alone time to actually feel like I'm coming back to myself, because that's kind of where I thrive. And therapy has really helped me realize that. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/UUP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/UUP. There's no better feeling than spinning around in a salon to see your hair looking absolutely perfect. But it feels impossible to keep up that same look at home. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, and I'm finally seeing the shinier, healthier looking hair I've always wanted. It's like I'm salon fresh every time. I have hair that is pretty thin and hard for me to grow, so I love the hair serum. I love that I can put it in wet hair or dry hair. It doesn't make my hair feel oily. It's a super lightweight serum. I just like the way it feels in my hair, and I love that I'm helping my hair to be healthier and I'm helping it to grow, which are two things I've struggled with for a long time. I am super pumped because I love these products. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. When it comes to seeing results, the key is consistency. For best results, use for a minimum of 3 months for visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker looking hair. When I sign up for a monthly subscription, I can get one bottle or three bottles sent. Plus, I save more and I never run low on the products I need to take care of my hair. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/UUP and use code UUP at checkout. That's vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP to save 20% on your first order. vegamore.com/UUP, code UUP.
Jordana, what are we talking about?
Today we're talking about mitigating expectations.
Okay.
And specifically as it pertains to like, and I think this is, I thought this was the email we're about to read. I thought it was very interesting because it's sort of the moment, but it sort of could happen any year, anytime. I do think there's a lot of dates. So I feel like there's a lot of dates that are happening at people's apartments much sooner than they have been in the past, like being winter, being COVID, people like, you know, not wanting to do anything too like public or uncomfortably.
Well, so there's also, you never, you know, and we talk about this with all dating stuff. You got to beware if I'm going to give my bewares that I usually give. Beware holidays, bar mitzvahs, birthdays, global pandemics. Beware the built-in excuse.
Yes. And I think COVID definitely has that pretty intensely in there. So I do think there's like, I would imagine there's a lot of people going through this issue of like, sure, I'm down for the hangout that's a little bit easier logistically, especially now in someone's apartment. But I don't want someone to assume that just because I'm doing that, I'm like trying to hook up or I'm ready to hook up or like, you know, because I think that,
well,
that usually does when you're like, when you start going back to someone's apartment, I do think that usually goes hand in hand with like having sex or being more sexual than if you're, you know, meeting at a restaurant still.
The unsaid thing. And also, you know, most importantly, and I think we both agree on this, like, you're just safer in a public place. Like, you're meeting people out of nowhere. Like, the safety of a restaurant, the safety of a coffee shop, the safety of a public park, the safety of just not being in someone's apartment locked away. So, like, again, I think that's paramount. Like, and again, here's the other thing. Men generally don't think that way. They might understand or empathize. Or I don't know what the words are, but they might. A man might. When a man invites you over to his apartment, he's not worried about getting murdered. Whereas a woman is thinking about this at some point in their in the thought process, right?
Yeah, totally. And I think that it's also interesting because we're going to go through like the text that this person wrote in had with the guy. And I do think, especially in the beginning of dating, you want to be like, you want to seem fun. You want to seem like down for things. You want to seem like fun and flirty. So yes. I do think as a woman, I remember going through this too. It's kind of like, I want to be down and fun and like ready to hang out, but I also like don't want to do something that I'm going to feel bad about the next day or wish that I would have waited longer to do. So it's like, how do I kind of toe that line between like fun and playful and flirty, but also like, really like setting my ground rules kind of like, so that they're not like kind of like convinced out of, or it seems like I'm sort of just like saying it to say it kind of thing.
Totally. Or judging. I think like, and I think that's kind of from the other side, from the male side, I'll say this, like the only time that stuff becomes upsetting. And again, like to me, you can, I think you can be positive and fun while also setting your standard. I think you can do both. I think the times that I've felt put off by it, or maybe a guy would react badly, is when they're being judged. So, okay. Like, I think it's okay, especially in that pre-date thing where you're going, yeah, like,
can you explain what you mean by being judged? Like, what would I say to make you feel like you were being judged in this?
Okay. So, and again, I don't know if I've ever been in that position. I but I'm just saying, like, hypothetically, a guy getting judged in that, like, let's start with like, hey, you should come over tonight and hang out. And if the response was, I don't do that like you, maybe you think I'm some sort of person that would do that, but I'm not that person. That's the answer that's like, okay, this guy took a shot.
Right.
Whether you're right or wrong, you have said some judgmental, if you came right back at him and you said, if the response was, LOL, dude, I'm sorry, that's just not something I do. Totally appreciate if you're looking for something else where I'm coming over from night one, but that's just not my game. Like, you put it in me terms. You know, I think,
as opposed to,
and that's
like,
very subtle.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good clarification, because I think that sometimes it's unclear like which seems like you're being judgmental and what seems like you're just like saying what your personal preference is.
Totally. And listen, it goes both ways. Like, guys do the same thing. I don't think it's exclusive. I think like guys will do the reverse of that. They'll go, oh, so you think I only want to fuck? And it's like, no, if he just like, and then you're arguing with someone you've never even met before. Like, everyone does this version where it becomes defensive. And it's like, and again, it happens because you're personally offended. You become personally offended. Oh my God, this guy thinks I'm the type of person that would come over on the first date. It's like, no. He is putting out there. Let's start at he's putting that out there for everyone, and it's not about you.
Right. Do you feel like even if you, because I kind of felt like this has happened where it's like sometimes even if you sort of say that, or you say that you're not like not really down to do that, I think guys will like even on the date kind of like, and especially if you're drinking, probably like see if you've changed your mind.
Sure. And that's in this icky terrain of like, yeah, like to me, like I think every date has to start at that this probably isn't the match. If it's not going, you know, like if you two aren't just gliding up the mountain of date one, this probably isn't the match. This probably isn't the person you should be seeing. You guys are on different pages. But let's say you say to him, LOL, dude, I'm not looking for that type of date. And he goes, oh, no, totally. Let's do
dinner.
Dinner or socially distanced drinks or whatever it is. And then you get there and he goes, so I live like, you know, upstairs of this restaurant, you know, and then
this is my kitchen. Yeah.
I come down here and I do one drink and then I go upstairs. I would still go, dude, I'm not doing that. I appreciate that you are looking for that, but that's not what I'm looking for. And again, I can understand that this becomes exhausting for women because it kind of feels like you're shooing away a fly. Because
right. And a lot of the times it's kind of like you might actually kind of want to hook up.
Yeah.
But you also like know that you might not. It's kind of like anything when, especially when you're drinking, you're kind of like, this would, yeah, I could do this. It would be fun. I think tomorrow I'd rather wait. So it does get tough when guys do come back for the second time to do that, where you're like, I'm trying to like, it's like someone just shoving like a cheeseburger in your face. If you're on a diet, you're like, eventually you're going to eat it. Cause you like do want it, even though you, after you had it, you probably wish you didn't.
I listen. And that's the, that's something I don't understand. You know, like I don't ever deal with, like, again, you know, like I've never, that's something. And I think that's the thing that maybe helps women is hearing me say, we never deal with the annoyance of like, come on, come over. You don't want to come over? Okay, fine.
We're not going to do anything.
Time, we're not going to do anything. Like I've never dealt, you know, like with a woman looking, come on, just come up. We'll, you know, we'll hug and, you know, we'll just, and it's like,
we'll just snuggle.
Yeah. We'll just snuggle. Like I've never had that experience. So again, the person you're dating probably hasn't either. So they don't know how annoying that is and how, and again, if someone's pushing that hard, that probably means they don't want to get to know you. Why are they in such a rush? It's because maybe there's no opportunity, you know, further opportunity for them. Like they're just, maybe they don't want to go on the second date. You know, like you have to think of like, why are they doing these things? Like it can't be for a good reason. You know, if your friend was over the house, a good friend, if they were over the house and you were like, hey, it's getting late, you got to go. And they're like, no, you'd be like, no, you have your own apartment. Like,
right. You know, you'd we'll be like,
see, get out. We'll see each other next week. You know, like, what do you, you know, like that's a good friend. If you're trying to create a friendship, then there's an understanding that you'll see each other again. If someone's trying to create a real relationship, they should understand that. Like, you know, listen, you go on the date, they go, you want to come up, you go, ah, that isn't for me. I'm not going to say should, but like, at one point you have to go, I'm just unattracted to this kind of behavior.
Yeah. Like, I think at a certain point you got to be like turned off by that. I mean,
you got to figure out when does that turn you off? And, and again, like that's about coming on the date with, like, I think it's okay to go on a date with like a plan in mind. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to do this. If he asks for this, I'm going to say this. And then.
Right.
If it doesn't feel comfortable, you're out, you know?
Totally. And sometimes it feels comfortable. It almost feels too comfortable where you're like, I could just do this. And I totally understand, again, like we were just talking about, like that back and forth in your head of like, I really kind of want to do this. Maybe I should just do it. But then like you remember other times that you did it, it didn't work out. You felt maybe like worse for having done it. Not to say that that's bad, but I'm just saying like I've been in that situation. So I think it's what you said is great advice in terms of like go in with a plan, especially if you're someone who like has hooked up with people maybe a little earlier than you originally thought would, and then didn't like how you felt after. I think it's totally okay to say like, if someone asks, I'm going home after this dinner and I'm not going there, or I'm not going to this person's apartment, or I'm going to this person's apartment and I'm just going to be very clear that I'm not hooking up, and I'm going to be like pretty firm in that regard.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's also like the sad part about the whole thing is like it takes time to figure out what you do and don't like. Like there's a learning experience. There's like a learning experience to like taking someone on a date. There's a learning experience to like being taken on a date and like what you want from the date and how you want to feel. Again, we're speaking from like a little bit older. There might be someone out there that's like 24 going on a first date. I don't know what to do. Like, it's okay to not know what to do, but it's also understand. And again, we're talking from like a little bit older of a place for some people. Understand that like you will not regret the nights you went home early.
Like, totally. Yeah.
Nobody lost out on a second date because they went home early from a good first date.
Totally. I think that's a great motto to have in the back of your head. Like, it's never really going to harm you to go home earlier unless, like, your only goal was to hook up, because, like, that's, you know what I mean?
What's the old saying? Nothing good happens after midnight? you know, nothing good happens after, you know, six drinks and a person that says they really like you.
Exactly.
Let's do the email.
Yeah, let's do the email. All right. Hi, team. Love the podcast. Looking for some assistance in how to deal with putting a lid on texts that are too forward early on, or how to feel comfortable responding without setting expectations. I think the issue I have with it is that I don't want him to expect I will sleep with him when I meet him, even though I might do that if I feel like it. But thinking that he expects that makes me feel pressured, and that is not what I want. Any tips on how to cool this off without cooling off the vibe, because I'm still looking forward to meeting him, or should I just bag this? Context: we met on a flight and I was on and had a great 2.5 hour chat, and he asked me out before we parted ways. We live in the same city, so I'm not going to go stay with him when we meet. It would be a regular date. He's talking about if I traveled again in the future, so the same destination where we met on the flight. So she attached their little convo as a guy she met on a plane. They talked for a few hours, and then they're starting to get into some flirty texts.
Okay.
You'll be him.
Ha ha, I'll make you some oatmeal, laughing face emoji. Yes, next time you come visit, you have a place to stay. I'll give you the bigger side of the bed because I'm that nice.
No, I want real food if you're cooking. You're kidding. You were moving? It's pretty nice here, not going to lie. Also, it better be a very good dinner if I'm going to stay over. Oatmeal will not make the cut.
Talking about he reacts to the oatmeal won't make the cut. Then he writes, talking about dinner, I have a surprise for you. Dessert is going to be even better.
Okay. So she basically wants to know, like, how does she cool this off without cooling off the vibe? Because she does want to meet him. And then she says, should I just bag this? I don't know if that... well, I mean, she means, like, forget it?
Yeah, that means, like, don't go.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Okay. Before, when I read the email, I thought like the texts were going to be like way more explicit.
Like I did too.
Like I thought, like the fact that he's like, there's going to be some dessert after, and it's going to be even better. Like I'm like, what year is this from? Like that's so funny that he's like making the flambé afterwards. I don't, you know, like I got bananas Rockefeller for afterwards. You know, like I don't know. I will say, sometimes the answer is in the email, and I think this one is one of those emails. And she writes, I'm still looking forward to meeting him. You're still looking forward to meeting the guy you met on the plane that was nice, respectful, fun, and seemed like a good guy. You're not, I think that's like one thing that like people like get caught on. Like, I'm still looking forward to meeting them, but then he keeps turning more into what he actually is.
Right.
You know, like, yeah. It's like you met him.
Yeah, he's giving you, like, the fine print after your initial, like, you know, you had the house tour.
Yeah.
And then now you're getting, like, the contract details, and they seem a little off.
A little sketchy. Yeah. So I would say to her, you've had your fun 2.5 hour meeting. Like, meeting someone on a plane, like, that's sexy, that's hot, that's new, that's exciting. Like, I understand everything that goes into, I got to meet this guy. I might fuck him. I probably won't. I just think it's been... like, I understand getting carried away with what's going on here.
Right.
What I would say to her is, like, it's okay to say to him... like, I think it's... like, because you've had all this other, like, flirty, fun talk, you've gotten to know each other, you've had a first date if you talk the whole 2.5 hour flight. I would say to him, like at this point, after, like, talking about dinner, I have a surprise for you. Dessert is going to be even better. I would like let this cool, write an LOL back, and then like an hour later just be like, hey, I just want to be straight up with you. I had a great time talking on the flight. I'm looking to like go on an actual date. I understand like, you know, a lot of the, we've kind of like gone to a different place right now, but like,
right.
I'm not just coming over to like sleep with you. I just want to let you know. Like, I think that like letting him know where you're headed, like there's a point where the curtains have to be drawn back and you kind of let him know about reality a little bit.
Well, here's my question. If a guy is like looking for a relationship or dating rather than just sex, is he pulling this with you? Is it possible he's still kind of like trying to make the conversation a little bit more? And this isn't that sexual of a conversation. I'll give him that.
And she's already like agreeing to like going over, so she might feel comfortable with that. But I, again, like, she can change her mind at any time. I would say no guy is even thinking that far ahead. Like, they, okay. All this guy is thinking about is cute girl, let's go out, let's maybe have sex. Like, I don't think he's thinking like, and I think she's the one. The playing girl could be the girl. Like, I do think in the back of his head, like, he's thinking, oh, and maybe we would date. Maybe that could be that. But I don't think he's like, I don't think he's thinking of the consequences of what this post-plane date will be. Does that make sense?
Right. No, that does make sense. And you know, I think, like, she's, I think that, no, I think that's, I would agree. I mean, I don't agree, but would not agree, because I don't know. For me, it's harder to get into like the male psyche of this. But I think what you said is just like great advice for regardless of whatever his intentions are. And then if he's like seemingly backing off after that, then you know that was like really the only thing he was interested in.
Yeah. And again, like, if I said, if she said to him, hey, I'm not looking for just sex, he would deny that. He would say, I'm just looking to have fun with you. I thought we were having fun. Like, and that's the problem with like these conversations where it's like, hey, I just want to like he can always take this like moral superiority where it's like, whoa, who's talking about sex? I'm talking about my famous lava cake. Like, what, dude? You know, like, so I don't, again, this should be an easy stroll to date two, because you've already gotten to know each other. He knows what he's getting. He should want to take you out. You've had a 2.5 hour conversation. Obviously that went well enough. So, hey, I'm looking for a date out, or like, oh, I'm looking to come over for dinner, but I'm also like, I just want to let you know, like, I'm not looking to like get physical on this date. And,
right.
And if that bothers you, just,
although she does say she like might be down.
I know that's, well, that's the hardest part about this whole thing, right. Is like, you know, I'm saying to her that, like, again, like, the hard part about this question is like, no guy is asking this question. Like, no guy is like, well, what if I don't want to have sex? Like, if a guy doesn't want to have sex, he goes, hey, I got to go. I'm not going to have sex. Like,
right. I think she could do too. Yeah.
But that's my point, is like, who gives a fuck what this guy thinks? Like,
right.
Be a little selfish. Be as selfish as he's being. He's being selfish right now by being like, I want to impress a girl with my famous dessert. Well, you want to impress a guy with your famous personality and your fun attitude, and you don't want to fuck. Too bad for him.
Right.
You know.
No, like, I agree. I think that's the way to look at it, because she's coming at it like, how do I not offend him, or how do I like still make him think I'm fun? It's like, you're fun. You're as fun as you are. So like, if he doesn't think you're fun because you're like saying, because you don't hook up with him when he wants to hook up with you, then he's not the right guy for you.
I do this all the time, and I think it's a good exercise. Think of them complaining to their friends about you after your date. Just do that enactment and see how bad they sound. Oh, can you believe this fucking bitch talks to me on the plane for 2.5 hours, then she comes over, we have a great conversation, then she won't suck my dick? What the fuck? Like, does that sound like a human that has any leg to stand on, or does that sound like a monster?
Yeah, it sounds like a frat guy.
Well, I'm just saying, like, to me, it's a monster. Like, I don't, like, even if that guy was in the grossest of any fraternity ever, if someone high-fived him, you'd be like, those two are fucking assholes. Like,
yeah.
You just don't like, and you just
not, it wouldn't be someone you would want to date anyway.
Exactly. And it's also like, again, if he had that complaint in front of your face, everyone would laugh at him, not you. No one would turn to you and be like, you didn't blow him after the 2.5 hour flight. Like, no one. So I think it makes it easier when you think of like, am I offending them? Are they going to be disappointed? Who the fuck cares if they're disappointed?
Right. Yeah. And I think her main worry here is like not seeming fun and going with it. But it's like, you can say, and like, you can be fun. And like, even you can, I think this conversation is like fine. And in the moment, if you're like, I actually don't want to do this, just leave.
Yeah.
Or say like, and yeah.
And those things are easier said than done. But even like, I think a text right now to be like, hey, I'm super pumped to go out with you, but I'm just letting you know, like, I'm just looking to date you. Like, I want to go on a date. Like, I'm not looking to like, or even pulling out of the house thing. Like, I would even pull away from like the house dinner thing if you're worried about that. Like, let's put yourself in the best position to have the most comfortable and fun time.
You could say, you know, and even if you already agreed to that, you could say, like, you know, I've thought about it. I'd actually prefer to, like, if we met, you know, out somewhere, I think that would be, like, more fun for us and easier to get to know each other that way.
And even add in it. I'm just not ready to go to your house yet. Like, I think I'm ready to, like, just kind of do a date with you and have a fun night. And it's like, if he can't do that, then he don't want to get to know you anyways.
You guys know I'm a huge fan of Skims, and with warmer weather coming, I recently tried out one of their t-shirts. Skims makes the best basics and foundations, so it's no surprise that it's the best fitting tee I've ever worn. Finding the perfect t-shirt can be such a challenge, whether it's the fit or the quality, but with Skims, they make the most flattering shirts for everyone. I love anything that Skims makes. They have like the most incredible material. I have the soft, smoothing, seamless t-shirt in Onyx. It is so amazing. It has like amazing versatility. I wear it to dress up. I wear it to dress down. I just wore it to the airport. It was like a great shirt to wear that was like super comfy on the plane, but also super flattering. And I also tried the cotton jersey t-shirt. As cotton t-shirts go, it is incredible. It's honestly like a step up for any other cotton t-shirt that I own. It hits me at all of the right places and it fits like a dream. Skims t-shirts are made with innovative technology while always keeping style and comfort in mind. From crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, Skims has something for every fit and every body. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/betches.
Let's do some awkward sex.
Let's do some awkward sex, but keep sending these emails. They're so good. UUP at Betches.com, UUP at Betches.com. You ready?
Yes.
J&J, I've always been a fan, and I'm on a major pandemic binge of your pod right now. Thanks for the insight and for always making me laugh. Here's an awkward sex story which takes place outside of the U.S. Ooh la la. Let's go abroad. I was traveling solo for a few weeks in Europe and was at a bar in Budapest with another solo female traveler I had met earlier that day. We were talking and drinking with two guys that were backpacking together. Both were young, but they were cute, and a British accent always gets me. And as usual, I was down for some fun vacation sex. Per usual. So a couple hours later, I headed back to my Airbnb with one of the guys. We immediately started making out, and things got steamy fast. We started taking off articles of clothing. He took off his belt, shoes, shirt, and got on top of me on the bed when all of a sudden I thought I was going to be sick. No, not from drinking too much, from the horrid stench that suddenly filled the studio apartment. I couldn't figure out what it could possibly be. I scanned the room looking for I don't know what. And then I noticed his sneakers sitting there. They were old, worn-in Stan Smiths, and there were no socks in sight. I glanced down to his janky barefoot feet and realized, oh my God, the smell was him. It was his feet. It was honestly the strongest, most rancid smell I might have ever smelled. Certainly the worst smell coming from a human. he had been traveling around Europe for weeks, hopping from one hostel to the next. Clearly wearing this one pair of sneakers with no socks, I thought to myself, there's no way any part of this guy's body is getting inside of me. No,
not here.
As he started to undo his jeans, I suddenly pulled away, telling him no. What? He exclaimed, clearly shocked and confused. I said, I just changed my mind and I don't want to anymore. It was late and I was getting up early to catch a train. He was not thrilled, but after reminding him that no means no and that he needs to leave, he obliged as I escorted him to the door as quickly as I could, leaving his belt behind. Once he left, I tried everything to get the smell out, opened all the windows, sprayed whatever I could, but honestly, nothing did the trick. The whole place reeked. I was so nauseated that I thought I would never fall asleep. Needless to say, I ignored any engagement that initiated via IG the next day. Sincerely, no hygiene, no hookups, sockless and sexless, no banging in Budapest. What do you think, Jordana?
Wow. Yeah, that's the I would say that comes with the territory if you're like hostel hopping. I think you've got to there's got to be a random smelly dude that you come across.
Yeah, this didn't happen at the Ritz. Yeah. Well,
it's funny. I feel like this is, on the one hand, like cool story, especially like I feel like this is what, like, if you're single, this is like what it's all about. Like,
yeah,
traveling on your own, meeting people. This is like the ultimate like single adventure. Like,
this is
you
what
never
you
know
get.
Who you're going to meet. Yeah.
Yeah. This is kind of a, you know, people think, oh, I want to, they write on their dating apps, I want to travel. Yeah. Well, good for fucking you. It's over after this. Like, you're going to do normal, boring hotel, beach by 8 and then in bed by 7 vacation. It's not going to be you with beachy, wavy hair at the bar in Budapest. No, it's not going to be you meeting a couple of young bucks. This is, again, yeah, this is what you do when you're single. I agree, Jordana.
I think she's, I commend her fully taking advantage of that.
Absolutely.
But the downside of that is you get random, like, smelly feet guy.
Yeah, I mean.
Or, you know, potentially dangerous drifter. Who knows?
Yes.
Right? Homeless man, potentially.
Yeah, I mean, again, and also, like, you know, you're not at a bar that James Bond would be at. You're at a hostel in Budapest. Like, it's like, right. Consider the surround, like the idea that someone's like, can you believe the guy I met at the hostel had smelly feet? I'd be like, yeah, I can believe it. I actually fully believe it. What would you call this, Jordana?
I'd call this, have you heard of NIMBY? Not
no,
my
that?
Backyard. It's about,
yes,
like,
I know,
for
NIMBY.
Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and for like dumping of like trash or things like that, people saying not. So I
San
call this NIMBY.
San Franciscans are known for such a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very much like no polluting in my backyard. I call this NIMBY, not in my vagina. There's no, no smelly
wins.
Appendages
yeah,
in the
that,
area.
That's amazing. I would call it a hostile situation.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, have you ever been in a situation similar to this?
I had a guy, not a smelly guy, but I had a guy leave his, I hooked up with a guy in my apartment building in college, and he also lived on like a couple floors down. He left his shoes in my apartment and I had to return them to him. It was like very weird. Kind of just like left them outside his door, but it was like, that was like the much more PG version of the story.
Yeah, the body smell thing, you come in contact with body smells. Like, it's going to happen, especially, like, you know, listen, I've definitely smelled, like, I've definitely been the person that smells. Like, there's no question. Like, someone might
have. Well, you
can't
tell that you're
me.
The smelly person.
Yeah.
You can't tell, and, you know, it's very hard to smell your own body odor, so someone else would have to.
That's
like,
the
this guy probably did
part
not,
of the story.
Right. Yeah. This guy definitely did not know that he, you know, that the reason she didn't hook up with him is because of his very smelly feet.
No. What the fuck? Oh, my God. I was almost there. Like, you know, like now, like his story to his friends is like, we're making out. Like, the one thing
all
I will
of a
say,
sudden.
All of a sudden, you know, I'm on the bed and she's like, get out of here. I'm like, oh, my God. What the fuck? I thought, you know, like,
right.
It is interesting that I would tell the guy, like, if I were her, do people this favor. And if you had a situation, she talks about, like, And I know it's not her responsibility, but like, hey, nah, I don't want to do it tonight. Get out of here. The guy's trying to message on IG. Like, do him the solid favor of being like, hey, man, your feet stunk. That's why. Just so he knows. Right. Like, send him away with a gift at least. Like, I can just see this guy sitting at home being like, I don't know what I did. Is she? Am I the most evil person alive? Like, he's probably in his head. He's a little hungover, not sure what he did.
Right. I think the issue with that method, for at least me, I'm like, I don't know if I want to start something with this guy. I don't know him, and he's in my home.
I guess
my only thought about that. I think I would be like, I think it would be funny if he were like a normal person, but then I'm like, I don't want to offend this potentially dangerous, like, smelly drifter. Might kill me.
That's the other thing. You're right, yeah. Because then he goes, no, I washed him. I swear, I'll be back in 10 minutes. Let me, you know, like, a guy when he's about, you know,
that's another,
if there's someone that's willing to have sex, it's like, oh, they smell? Like, he's not even embarrassed. It's not like he would leave and like with his tail between his legs. He'd be like, no, I went to the store. I got some soap. I'm good to go. I washed it in that that sewage drain over there. I'm good, you know?
Right. He might just, I mean, he could be homeless. Maybe he's just looking for, you know, a room for the night. That's why he was hesitant to leave.
Red flag or deal breaker? You're done? NIMVY?
Yeah, I think NIMVY. I think I would probably be out. Unless, I'm trying to think, like, change the situation a little bit. I went on a date. The guy seems very clean cut, normal, go to a nice place, like a regular New York City date.
Sure.
And then this happens. I think then I would say something. Maybe it would be just a red flag.
Like, his name is like Jonathan Kornblatt, and he's like,
and he went to camp with my friend.
Yeah. Then you're like, okay, I can give this guy the word.
Yeah.
When it's random, hostile bar dude, it's a little bit different.
Yeah. Then it's like, I think I'm just going to cut my losses here. This probably wasn't going to amount to anything anyway. What about you?
It'd be a red flag, not a deal breaker per se, but again, I think I'm with you where it's like, I don't even understand, like this isn't going to be the love of my life. Like, I think we are, if we're too far apart on this, like, if she's coming in Birkenstocks that are 1,000 years old that she's been wearing through, you know, through Budapest while she walks along the highway, I'm like, yeah, we probably aren't very similar and not a match anyway. So it's not worth coming back to.
I feel that. All right.
Let's do some emails. You ready?
Let's do it. All right. So the listener writes in, hi, J&J. Thank you for all that you do. I came across your podcast right after a horrible breakup in early 2020, and I wish it had been in my life during my 20s. Aw. Your advice is always spot on, and you're a hilarious duo. I've shared your podcast with everyone I know, rated, reviewed, subscribed, the works. Now to my question. I've been seeing a guy since November. I'm in my early 30s and he is in his late 30s. He is a wonderful person, truly so unbelievably thoughtful, and treats me very well. He clearly wants to settle down and is very mature and has been upfront with me about his feelings for me. I'm liking him and feel excited to be in what seems thus far like an open and healthy relationship. That said, But I have one issue that I hate myself for not being able to get over. He accessorizes, and it's a tad much.
Oh my God. This is a bad one.
For context, he wears a black ring on his pointer finger, a gold chain bracelet, and a belt with a large logo on the clasp. See picture below for type of belt buckle. And she attached a picture of like an Armani exchange, like the huge belt buckle.
Yeah, it looks like it would be on a BuzzFeed list about the 90s.
Yeah. We will put that up on the Instagram story so you get some context for today's episode. I honestly cringe when he wears this accessory combo, but I am struggling to figure out a non-offensive way to tell him that he is hot but would look better if he stopped with these accessories. I feel absolutely terrible. This is such a dumb thing to take issue with, but I would love your advice on how to address this without being insensitive, as he prides himself on being on quote unquote being fashionable and thinks this is a good look. Peace and blessings. Sincerely, male accessories are a fashion don't. P.S. Speaking of being fashionable, red flag or deal breaker, the guy you're seeing will take mirror selfies of himself dressed in a suit and post it on Instagram stories, but he does look attractive in the suit.
Okay, so let's start with the red flag.
The first question.
Or the first one or the red flag deal breaker?
We can start with the red flag.
I think if you post a selfie of yourself in a suit, you're feeling yourself. I get it. I would do the same. I could see myself doing it. I would put a joke on it to soften it if it were me. But like I think if a woman takes a picture of herself in the bathroom while in a hot dress and she looks hot in it, good for her. No?
I think on occasion, it's okay. If that's like all of what he's doing, probably a red flag for me.
If it's outfit of the day and he does it every day at work, it's a little bit, it would be a turn.
A little much. Yeah.
Okay. What do you think of the
accessories? This is a tough one. Well, it's funny. It reminds me of like that meme. It's like, dear God, please send me a man. And then it's like, not that one.
Yeah, he sounds like Mystery from those hookup shows. Remember Mystery, the pickup artist? It was a show on VH1 called The Pickup Artist with this guy named Mystery. And he was a professional pickup artist. And his whole thing was that you had to peacock. You'd have to wear something a little bit brazen, a little bit flashy, a hat with a feather, a jacket with like that went all the way down to your feet. A bunch of rings, and he would say that it was something to get people talking about it. Women would be into it. This guy sounds like he comes from the Mystery, land of dating.
For sure. He's like an urban dating myth. Yeah. I feel like on the one hand, I'm like, okay, this is probably fixable. On the other hand, when I think about this, this isn't really an issue, I feel like, with what he's wearing, and more like it's kind of like with what other people think, because this is, I feel like I would be like a little embarrassed to go out with this guy almost, because like even if I could get over it, I'd be like, people are probably thinking that like these accessories are so lame.
And it doesn't help that he prides himself on being fashionable. So it's not like he's going to wear the ring with the belt loops or the chain wallet and just be that guy. He's now going to give his opinion on other people's fashion choices and if he prides himself on it. Like,
there's almost nothing worse than someone who thinks they're really good at something that they're actually really bad at. It's like a guy who plays the guitar at parties terribly.
It's a bad look, and it shows unawareness. Like, that's probably what bothers her the most. It's like, I got this great guy. He seems wonderful. He's into me. He loves me. He's ready to settle down, and he doesn't see this. So maybe he sees this whole relationship wrong. Maybe I see it wrong. You know, you question your own reality at a certain point.
Right. I can see being like pretty turned off by this. I'm trying to think if it would be like, this is a really tough one. I'm like, would it be a deal breaker for me? In some ways, I think it might be, I would have gotten this far along with someone. Like, I've gone on dates with guys and I hated the way they dressed and like everything else about them was like fine. They probably seemed, but I was kind of like, just like, this isn't, I'm not attracted to it.
Is there kind of a point to be made that like, if she's seeing this, that means she's not that into him? Like, if this is something that's holding you back, how into them are you? Like, listen, I don't think I dress, you know. Also, let me defend him a little bit. The older you get as a single guy, the more you think you look good without someone telling you you look good. So, like she said, he's like 38. Like, you're basically going based on your mom and friends that like lie to you. Like, nobody is telling you what looks good. Like, you could tell how single a guy is by how bad his eyebrows look. It's just like one of those things. Like, a woman just like kind of will, I have this with Jess, with my girlfriend, where it's like, she will shave you down a little bit. She'll let you know like what looks good. I'm sure you do this with Mike, where you're like, hey,
totally. Yeah.
Like, I got to take care of that eyebrow. I got to take care of that ring has got to go. Like, once you're in a relationship, these things are easier to say, like, hey, dude, that
especially
belt,
two men.
What's that? Two men. Yes. Especially. Yes. Men. Like, I would never look at Jess and be like, what the fuck are you wearing? You got to get rid of that. Like, I just would never do that. Like,
right.
What's that? Well, yeah, she has good style, as she's reminding me behind me.
You wouldn't have to.
Yeah, exactly. So I think for a guy, like, again, she has to wonder, do I not is this something I'm using as an excuse? Because it is genuinely like, you know, a guy getting older and not having a woman who can be honest with him.
I think you're right. I think you're a little onto something with like that. Does she really like him? Because she said, you know, he's very thoughtful and he treats me well and he's very mature, whatever. Like, so she likes that about him. But does he's upfront with his feelings about me? Like, does she like him because he likes her, or does she actually really like him? I think that's one question to like figure out, discern amongst yourself.
Before we move on from that, because she writes, I'm liking him and feel excited to be in what seems thus far like an open and healthy relationship. Liking someone and being excited to be in a healthy relationship is not the same as being like, I am madly in love with this person.
Right. And I think it's like that's sort of two different things. It's like, yeah, it's great to be like it's great to be with someone who like does all the healthy, normal relationship things. But I do think on top of that, you actually need to really like them for who they are and like their personality and their character.
Totally.
So I think not to say, again, that's not to say that that's not the case here. Maybe it is the case. Maybe she does like him. And like this is this one random thing. But I would assume that if he's doing this, it comes sort of paired with other personality traits that might not be a great match for her.
Yeah.
Go
ahead, please.
I don't know.
I
think I just think I think you can definitely like move someone a little bit more towards your direction. Like I definitely bought Mike like the shirts that I preferred to see him in the beginning, you know, like as like gifts, like a style that I sort of wanted to inch him towards. But like if his style was so completely on the other end of the spectrum for me, I would assume it would come with some other traits that I wouldn't like.
And I would wonder, like, how'd you end up with him in the first place? Like, you do have to have initial attraction. Were you just like, you got to fuck those rings, and then he was nice to you? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, how'd you get here? Let's start at how'd you get here. Yeah. Like, if you saw him and you're like, oh, my God, that fucking, you know, kiss doll is looking at me. And you're like, and then you got a little drunk and you're like, I'll go home with him, fuck it. And you went home. You had a good time, and then you realize he was just a nice guy, and now you're here with a nice guy. Like, you're not looking for that. You're looking for the right match. So how did you get here? And then it's like, you can say to him, like, if it's, I love him, he's great, it's just I got to get rid of this, you know, this bedazzling that he's doing. You got to say, I think it's okay to ask him, be like, so what got you started wearing the rings? Like, let's go through the history.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know, you know, I just like how I just love it. It's like, did a girlfriend tell you to do that? Like, and it's just like, and then he's like, why are you asking? I just have never dated someone who wore those rings. And sometimes I look at it and I go, you don't need it. Like, you don't need it is kind of a powerful thing because you're complimenting him, but you're also saying like, you know, you don't have to do these things. Like, if he looks at you and he goes, well, it was my mother's mood ring and it connects me to her, I'd be like, okay, well, that's a part of his personality. Like, but if he's like, you know, because guys don't do things that they don't think will get them laid. Like, it just doesn't happen. Like, women dress for other women and guys dress for women. So he's doing this because he, as much as he says, he's like, no, I just take a lot of pride in being fashionable. It's like, no, he takes a lot of pride in women noticing the fashion he's wearing and it getting him laid.
Right. Clearly someone did him a disservice by saying that someone made him feel like he was doing it right.
I think a guy looks totally ridiculous. A guy in a relationship looks totally ridiculous dressing like a guy who's trying to be single.
Yeah.
And I think this is kind of where he needs to grow up out of single attire.
No more peacocking.
And maybe it's you buying him like a newer anklet that like can take over the place of his old anklet. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe make him some.
I would start small. See how he responds to your like small tweaking of his style.
Yeah.
And if he seems really attached to it, or like he's like, this doesn't feel like me at all, maybe you're not attracted to him.
Maybe. And start with questions. I think questions are always easier. What got you into it? Like what started, where did this bracelet come from? Where did your dangling earring start? Where did where did you get your belly button ring? You know, like all those things you can start asking about.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Let's play some games.
Let's do it. All right. Red flag or deal breaker? Their cousin is a doctor and was able to jump the line and got the COVID vaccine early. So their cousin's a doctor, so they were able to get the vaccine before they're allowed.
This is a tough one. It's, I don't know. I would say it's fine. To me, I'm like, I want more people vaccinated than less. So like the idea that you're jumping the line, I'm just like, get like, again, we talked about this a couple weeks ago on the podcast where it's just like, I want everyone like line it up, come on, and start pricking right. everybody. Like I, you know, I would fucking take the vaccine up mm-hmm. the ass right now. Like, I don't give a shit. Just like, let's just get as many people vaccinated. Like, to me, a lot of this is like supply chain shit where it's like, no, let's get people one down, right. another to go. That's kind of my view on it.
So you're cool with it?
I'm not cool with it. Like, listen, I'm sitting here.
It's a red flag.
It's a red flag, but it's also like, again, like
the yellow flag for you.
Yeah, it's a yellow flag. I don't know. It's his cousin. That's kind of the perks of knowing doctors, I guess. Like, life isn't fair. I don't know. When this all started, when the vaccination started coming out, someone took a picture in the LA Times. It was a picture of this like dude who looked like he was like a comic book fan, like sitting legs crossed. And it was like him, like, and I kept imagining, like, and they're like, yeah, people are jumping the line. Then he became the face of jumping the line. And it's like, like, listen, some of these have like, you know, dates on them. They like go bad, right? Like, you have to, like, they have to be cold. So, like,
what,
I don't know.
Are you ever, if you're waiting in line for like any, I'm trying to think, like, you're waiting in line to get on a ride at an amusement park. Mm. Someone just jumps to the front. Do you not
I'm
care?
I'm angry. Different story. To me, there's, there's consciously jumping the line. There's like cutting. And then there's like, eh, yeah, I'm pricking, you know.
Your friend's like, oh, come here. Like, I'm higher in line. Like, oh, you hear them talking.
To me, for some reason, and that might not be fair.
It's because you see it. I think that's
when you
the
see
thing,
it.
Right?
Like, as long as I don't see it, like when she writes, she put in quotes, jump the line. I have this like, they're not really jumping the line. Like, what
are
line
you the guy who yells
point,
at the
you know?
Person?
Hey,
or you're
I
like,
do,
get
I
off
do,
the
yeah.
line.
No, when someone cuts the line, I'll do like a, hey, we got a line here. Like, I'll do the indiscriminate, you know,
that,
like
you're that guy. That's funny.
Yeah, I'm that guy. What about you, Jordana? What do you think?
I think it would depend. They'd have to be like a little ashamed of it. Like, they couldn't be like sure. bragging. If I went on like a first date with a guy who's like, yeah, I got the vaccine. Like,
you're totally right.
Doctor, it's like, I, you know, like so cool. Like sucks for people who can't get it. I like have a hookup. It sounds like a monster. I don't know why like this person exists. But if the person were like, yeah, like I feel a little weird about it. Like my cousin's a doctor. He had these extra doses. So I got the vaccine. I feel a little bad about it. I'm trying to be low key. If they were like a little self-aware of like that, it was a little sure. selfish. I think I'd probably get over it. And wouldn't care that much. But if they were like, they'd have to be like a little ashamed.
If you know, it's because you do hear these stories about like, yeah, we got like 1,000 back in the office. We just don't know how to find people to get them. And you're like,
I'll be here.
Okay, fucking come on. Just like you just want to like push people into their doctor's office to do it. Like, right. I'm, you know, again, you and I are very similar in our thinking with this thing where we've been just like, listen, I'm doing my best. I don't want to get sick. I don't want to make other people sick. And so like for me to jump to the front would be, I can't do that because I'm genuinely right. haven't been living in fear for this whole time. So I kind of like, I'm like, yeah, when someone
for
plucks
sure.
me, I'll be plucked, but I'm not like in a rush. But I do understand where people,
no, I agree.
There are people that are like, I need it now. And it's like, if that person can be for their mental health, I would think like for some people that might be a huge deal, you know?
Totally. I think if I were waiting on a physical line,
yeah,
like, you know, like the boredom no. associated with like, I'm actually waiting here, that would be like way worse. But it's like, yeah, I'm going about my life. I mean, obviously exactly. not to the extent I was before, but like, I don't feel it in the same way of like, you're cutting on like a line that you've been waiting an hour and a half on.
Yeah. I'm 100% in line with you. And I when I was in Tampa last weekend, you know, Tampa isn't exactly New York. Let me just tell you. And even Boca is better than Tampa as far as COVID precautions are concerned. There were people that were like old at the show. And I said to them, I was like, you guys are like taking it out for a test drive. Like, you're like, you know, you're like, right. let's see what this fucker can do. And I was like, wow. Like, you know, but I guess
that's
again,
really funny.
Like, it was really funny. But yeah, let's do another one.
Okay. Their license plate of their car says grandma's girl or daddy's girl, mama's boy for that matter. And then they attached a picture of someone whose license plate actually said GMASGRL. So grandma's girl.
Grandma's girl is so specific. Daddy's girl, I'm out. That's too much.
Mama's boy.
Mama's boy.
That would
yeah,
be
you're gonna go.
That would be like a literal driving red flag.
Yeah, I think this is that's a Penn State sticker on the back of the car, so I should be a little bit embarrassed. Yeah, grandma's girl, I'm like, I would just need, there would have to be a whole story. Like, I need your grandma to be like fucking a saint on earth, or for you to have this hilarious story about how your grandmother hated you and you did this to fuck with her. Like, I need this to have more depth than just, I love grandma, you know?
Yeah. To me, it would be like a little bit weird. Also, just like the amount of steps you would have to take to get there, and nowhere along the line would you be like, okay, that was a funny thought, but I'm actually like not, I'm not really going to do it, you know?
That's totally, yeah. Like the minute that there's a line at the DMV, you're like, no, fuck it, just give me whatever you got. Like,
right, like you really yeah. like, you really wanted this license plate. Like, to me, like this, the hoops you had to jump through to get it would be almost more the deal breaker than just like, you know, making it your AIM screen name or something.
Yeah, that's why I need the story. I need and it's, to me, for whatever reason, grandma hating you is better than her liking you to have this. Like,
we prefer you to have a bad relationship with your grandma.
That's right. It's a green Multuous. Flag if you hate each other. Perfect. Let's do the last one. You ready? I'll do it.
Okay. I'm ready. Yep.
My boyfriend of 7 months always got really, really upset whenever I mentioned my previous dating history, saying that he didn't like hearing about me being with other guys. I spent 5 years on the apps in New York City, went on nearly 300 dates, and have had about 30 sexual partners, but never met anyone who lasted longer than a few months until my current boyfriend. I always liked dating and tried to be a good sport about it. I went to a college with a graduating class of 100, so it was hard to meet people, and I met a lot of really interesting people through the apps. I finally thought he was getting over it when he recently told me that he felt my number of sexual partners indicated to him that I was easy and that it cheapened our connection. I was obviously shocked that he could say something so sexist. He said, I know it's a sexist double standard, but I can't help feeling this way. It's inherent to being a man, and all men feel this way. Jared, is this true? Oh, I get to be the representative of all men.
Do all men feel this way?
Yeah. Should I hide this part of my life from future partners? And is this a red flag or a deal breaker? So I guess this is my responsibility, right?
We're gonna put the onus of every man's opinion on you.
It is not true for me. I have the belief, the way I believe that the person I am with is the product of all the people they have been with in the past, and that's why I love them. Like, I you know, that is not, to me, I actually read this email and I was more,
you were turned on by her. You were attracted
sexual
to
partners. Yeah. I was more hard when I read this email. The counting 300 dates to me is like the one where I go, You did this a little meticulously. Who you fucked? I don't give a shit. Like, I the number doesn't matter to me. Like, I think most mature men would agree with me, and as opposed to your boyfriend or your ex, my boyfriend of 7 months. So I guess they're still together. I would dump this guy. Like, this is a difference of opinion. I would dump this guy for this thought. Like, I don't think he's mature enough to be in a relationship, because if you think this way, then you.
He's got a fucked up view about like women. He's not saying all guys think this way. It's like, if you think that this is like a normal way for men to think, then like, one, you might not be a match. And two, like, you clearly have some issues with like the way that you see dating, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Or the way you see like the value of someone's value. I would say, I mean, I wouldn't honestly, if he's admitting that this is a double standard, he doesn't think it's fair. I would say you should get yourself some help to like, maybe you should talk through this with a professional, that this really bothers you that much, that you think that like,
you're
that my worth is tied up.
You're saying this to the boyfriend.
Yeah, I would say to the boyfriend, I mean, like, let's say everything else is perfect, right? And I'm dating for 7 months, and this guy has this weird thing that he's like compulsively obsessed with the amount of people that you've had sex with, and it really bothers him. And it seems pretty irrational to me, but there's clearly some reason that he's thinking that, some like weird, maybe childhood or past thing. I would say, like, you should work this out with someone, because this is a very like irrational way to think. I don't think all men do think like this. And I don't know if it's like, maybe, I think there's probably more to it than what's on the surface here of him being like, I think, you know, I'm associating a lot of sexual partners with easiness, and yourself, and then your self-worth to me is tied up. The person I'm dating their worth is tied up in how easy they are. That's like a psychological issue he has. He should speak to someone about that.
Yeah. And again, that's not, I would even say, like, tell him to speak to someone on your way out the door. Like, I don't think you should wait around for him to fix this about himself. Like, I don't know.
I could see him being bothered on one hand if she's like explicitly going around like saying, and I went on 300 dates and I slept with 30 guys before I mentioned, that's something she's like extremely proud of and repeating constantly. I could see if I were dating a guy who was like, yeah, you know, I just like, after I graduated college, I just went crazy and I went on 300 dates. Here's my spreadsheet. And like, I slept with 30 girls. Like, if that's something that's like a huge part of his life, and like, that might be maybe a turn off to me. Maybe the way she's speaking about it, I don't know how she's relaying this information to him.
Yeah, that's the only thing I see in this email. When she said 300 dates, 5 years on the apps in New York City, went on nearly 300 dates. Like, listen, again, let me reiterate his response. I do not agree with, but just the way you said, like, here's the spreadsheet. I'd be like, you know, I would wonder. I'm like, oh. Was I just a math equation to you? Like, was I just, oh, and of the 300, you are the number one best at, you know, doing this on the date and doing that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, some people love their own story a little too much, where they're like, you know, for example, Jay Leno used to host The Tonight Show. And in every interview, Jay Leno talks about how he never spent his Tonight Show money. That was his, like, he always talked about it, like, well, I only spent my stand-up money. And you'd be like, dude, enough with this fucking story already. Like, no one cares that you didn't spend your Tonight Show money. What are you trying to prove to us at this point? Like, you've said it in every single fucking interview. And if you Google that story, it'll come up. Jay Leno never spent a Tonight Show check. Like, we don't give a shit anymore. So, like, if you're doing that with the 300 dates, that's a different story than, hey, I've been with 30 men. I'd go, oh, great. Who is the hottest? Right. Who is the not? Like, I would have more. I'd be like,
I wouldn't really necessarily want to know more information.
I wouldn't care. I'm just saying.
But I do think there's a difference. I would certainly wouldn't say like, I think you're worthless because you're easier because you've slept with many people. And that to me is like the main thing why she should dump him.
She put in quotes, all men feel this way. They do not. I will say that all men do not feel this way. I will say that I am telling you right now, I am happy for the experiences that my girlfriend had before me. genuinely. So to make
that's great. So deal breaker.
So, and for that reason, I shall be running for Congress and I am a hero. But I am.
There you go.
Deal breaker. So, listen, we solved dating again, right, Jordana?
We did. We did it. Well, love it.
We're here every Wednesday and Sunday. Keep spreading the word. Tell your friends. Make it your Instagram stories. And listen, again, congratulations, Jordana. 10 years in the game.
Thank you. And thank you for the listeners. Thank you to you, Jared, building this empire. With you as part of it has only made it even greater. That was the most awkward, fragmented speech. That's why I don't do too many speeches at batches.
I loved it. I loved every second of it.
There we go. All right. See you on Sunday. Bye.
Boom.
Batches.